on this episode of The Commercial Break.
A few weeks ago, Tom Papa gave Brian a few tickets to his Grateful Bread tour. Brian decided to take the tickets, but forgo saying hello. Tom is probably never coming back. So let's enjoy the time we have with this legendary comic, broadcast, and podcaster. Check out Breaking Bad, the podcast, and his live show, Grateful Bread, running through fall. Tom's episode is coming up next. Links and show notes. Let's start that episode now.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
And Tom joined us, and Tom says we're holding up remarkably.
Hello, Tom.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for joining us.
Fresh as a daisy.
We do.
Thank you.
Fresh as a daisy, powered by 5-Hour Energy.
Yes.
You are on this tour right now, and Chrissy and I have been talking about this long before we even knew you were coming on the show. When you announced the tour, the imagery that you're using for the tour right now, the kind of Grateful Dead-ish type of imagery, you a Dead fan?
Yeah. I was a Dead fan in like late high school through college, and then it just kind of hooks you.
Yeah.
And still.
Did you see Jerry?
Yes. Which is why I no longer really go to my many shows.
Right.
because you don't feel it's the same vibe.
He's not there.
Yeah.
And everything. I mean, it's fine. You know, it's still great that people get together and everything, but it's really hard to have people go, wow, that was an awesome show. And you're like, it was a pretty good tribute band. I'd say that.
It was a band. Yeah. A band that played the music and a few other guys showed up.
Yeah,
but
he was so special. He was so fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, he was such an otherworldly being. That it's just, you know, it's just hard to replace, and you can't really. I haven't gone to the Sphere. I don't know. You know, I went to the Hollywood Bowl, and I brought my wife along, and it's the same band. My wife was not into the Dead.
Yeah.
And she came along with me, and, you know, It was rough. It was watching it through my wife's eyes
of
these middle-aged dudes. Trying to recapture something, and it was like halfway through when my wife sat down in the middle of the concert.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, this ship has sailed. And I know the Sphere is supposed to be a beautiful movie and experience, and I might pull the trigger on it, but I won't be bringing my wife if
right.
I do.
I love it.
You know, this is so reminiscent. My wife is Venezuelan and she gets over here, and Fish is playing here locally. Now, I've never been the biggest Fish fan, but I get it. And as in my teenage years, Fish would be what Grateful Dead was to you. You know, everybody toured around and had magical moments. And, you know, there's just something that can be very spiritual about music.
Community.
And I don't think you need to be a jam band fan to understand that kind of influence that music can have on you. I'm hyping this up. It can be magical, it can be mysterious, it can be wonderful. And we get to the show, and three songs in, my wife sits and she goes, "What is that terrible smell and all this smoke?" And I said, "Well, that's weed." And she's like, "Well, it's making me not feel well. Can we leave?" And I said, "Yeah, okay. All right, we'll go. No problem."
I love those moments because it's like you plan the whole thing out.
Yeah.
You're thinking about getting there, about parking, about the scene where it's going to be fun. Well, you eat enough, we did it. And then this element just comes that you didn't even think about. Like,
yes.
Oh, the weed smell. Well, of course there's weed. Oh, and you, all right, we're going home.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you get killed for weed in Venezuela. I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
All right, you go to jail for life.
Yeah. Good try.
I think the imagery is great, though, that goes along with your tour. I think it's like, it fits the vibe, and I think it's really cool. Are people responding well to that? Are you getting the kind of the same?
Yeah, people really like it. It look, you know, it's something different. It looks creative. It's my a listener from my radio show actually named it. We were on the air talking about what should I call my my tour this time, and somebody just threw out Grateful Bread. I was like, yeah. Oh man,
that's great.
Pretty much nailed it. The only thing I've...
Do you owe him money?
I don't think so.
Should I cut that out so you don't owe him money?
Yeah. The only thing about it is I sign books a lot after the shows. I'll do a book signing, and I heard someone in line go, he didn't even talk about bread.
Like they felt like they got cheated out of the ticket. Yeah. I came for the bread. You didn't talk about the bread. Not one fucking recipe, Tom. Not one fucking recipe.
Yeah, I'm like, what did you think was going to happen? It's still a comedy show.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of sad. Do you still... I think we talked about this last time you were here, but I noticed something about this tour is that your dates are spaced out. They're like, you know, some of the comics come on and we look at their tour schedule and it's like, holy shit, they're playing like 7 p.m., 9 p.m., 12 p.m. You know, they're doing three shows a night sometimes, or they're at least doing four shows, five shows a week. Yours are more spaced out. Is that the...
That's the way I would do
That's the way I would do it too, Chrissy and I. We're doing 12 hours of TCB. Well, what the hell are we thinking?
Yeah, but you get to go home. Like, I never wanted to just keep going, you know? Yeah. I like to go out on the weekends, you know? Sometimes they're longer weekends, but go for the weekend and then go back home, back to your family, live your life, do your stuff, and then go back out. I remember when I was a young comic, like starting out, I was in Vegas and the headliner was this just like journeyman who'd been, you know, moderately successful. And he was just, his family was at home and hadn't seen his wife in a long time. And he just keeps going, like he'll just go for weeks at a time. And there's gaps when you're not performing. So you're just kind of hanging out in a hotel or an airport. And I remember just seeing him at the slot machines late at night. And I was like, all right, no, I can't, I can't do that. I really can't do that. And that gig that in Vegas at the time was a week long gig, which was unusual. It was like, you know, Sunday to the following Monday. And I remember saying to my other comedian friends who were starting out, I said, you know, in the beginning of the week, I'm like all excited and writing jokes. By the end, I'm sad and writing poetry.
Right.
And I'm like, on the road. And I was just like, I don't want to live that way.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a certain amount of bravery that goes along with stand-up comedy. And I just don't think I just don't think I have the constitution. No, I don't. I don't. I'll be the first to admit. I know where my strengths are. Yeah. It's sitting in this chair, hiding behind the microphone, not reading the comment section. That's where my strengths lie.
Yeah, okay? Never all looking right? someone in the eye.
Yes, that's correct. I want to make sure my children understand that chicken shit is the way to roll your life. But one of the things I do when in brief moments of insanity where I've gone, I should go out and, you know, we should do this, is the travel. I would never want to be away from my family like that for two reasons. Number one, I think I'd be real sad. And number two, I fear I might get used to it. Like it might become something that I just get used to. And I don't want that.
There is
don't.
That for sure. I mean, you know, the thing is, when you get on these planes and you go off to perform, it's loaded with people who are not going to shows.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, this isn't just like this weird comedy life. These are business people who are traveling all week long, who have many more miles on this airline than I do. Yeah. And they realize, well, everybody has to move. Everyone has to hustle. And, you know, if travel's a part of your job, then it's just part of your job. And I was thinking that last night. Like, I was home last weekend, and, you know, I go out pretty often. And I do get used to it. Like, it was a Monday night or whatever it was, and I was like, oh, I haven't been home that long, and I'm kind of itching to go, to your point about getting used to it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I do have that thing where I want to get out there, and I still enjoy that part of it. Now my kids are grown, you know, they're both in school, so I'm like, well, any consideration of like, should I stay home It's really just for the dogs at this point.
Does your wife go with you on some of the
outings? she's going to more. She's a teacher, and she's next year she's dialing back and just doing a lighter schedule. So I think she's gonna. She thinks she's going to come.
She's she's mulling it over.
Yeah, I just know. I know it'll be like, oh, that'll be fun. And then you see this monastic life that I live on the road and do the show and then skip dinner and just come back and try and get sleep. And, you know, and it's a grind and get up and go to the next city. And, you know, I know that she's going to be like, oh, this will be so much fun to go to Atlanta. And then it'll be like, maybe I'll skip next week.
Yeah, this will be fun to go to Atlanta to see the inside of yet another hotel room and watch you read over your material to make sure you have it for tomorrow. Yet another sound check. Congratulations, Tom. We're doing fun shit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so nice to watch you get applause from strangers. Yeah.
I love all these adoring women around you. It's fun for me. It's fun for me.
Yeah.
I shouldn't go back to the classroom where I'm doing something meaningful and positive for the world.
I know.
Is it, but I would imagine if I put myself in Tom Papa's shoes, but you, I shouldn't put myself in Tom Papa's
shoes. Go ahead.
But if I put myself in Tom Papa's shoes,
you can have
it. Go ahead. Feel free. That it's that moment, you know, that, what do they call that? The 5-yard walk or the 15-yard walk. Eddie Brill had this saying. He would say the 15-foot walk, you know, out to stage. That's the moment. That's the light. That's the there's the magic. There's the energy when you get out there and you're bouncing back and forth and people are responding to moments of creativity that you've done whole cloth. That's the magic. That probably, I would imagine, is part of, is what pulls you to the next city.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole gig, is that sharing your jokes, which are really just reflections of what you're going through. And I always say, like, the best shows are when you leave, you feel a little less alone. You know, like, we've brought up these anxieties and these frustrations and these nonsensical moments, and everybody's laughing, and we're like, oh, I'm not the only one who is dealing with this kind of person or this kind of thing. And you leave and you feel like settled. You feel like, all right, I'm not an oddity. I'm actually one of this bigger collective. And you only get that when you're in a room filled with other people. And my house isn't big enough to take reservations. So I have to go to them.
Is this catharsis for you?
Sure.
Is it therapy? Is it catharsis?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I've never gone to therapy.
You've never gone to therapy?
Mm-mm. And I think that it's a big part of it is my job, is that I get to express, you know, frustrations and anything that's kind of on my mind. And I have this real kind of sense of purpose, and it kind of checks a lot of boxes.
Yeah.
So I don't, that kind of is my place for cultivating good mental health.
Mm-hmm. It's church. It's communion. It's communion when you're, I can see that if you know, you're observational. So you make an observation or a frustration or something that's running through your head that's irritating or beautiful or whatever it is. And then you say it out loud and there's a punchline and laughter opens people up, this certain kind of energy.
Yeah.
And then you feel that feedback. You, like you said, you feel a little less alone. You go, oh shit. Yeah. I'm not crazy.
Yeah. And when I was younger, and you'd hear people, you know, talk about, well, what, you know, laughter is important and all those kind of little catchphrases. And I would think, well, you know, I don't know. I mean, also part of it is me being hungry for people to like me and and that I can be on a billboard one day or but then it does settle in, and I'm definitely seeing at this point in my career that how valuable it is. You know, when I do those book signings and people come up and they're like, I travel 6 hours to be here, and your special got me through the pandemic. And I'd even go one step further, and it's not just like what they're getting out of it, it's what I'm getting out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, all that, you know, it like everything in life, when you're younger, you think, oh, that's just corny, and you know,
right,
it's not cool. And then you grow up and you're like, no, it's actually right on the right on the nose.
So true.
it's like I think that all these you know, these little phrases, catchphrases that I would hear from adults in my life when I was younger, especially my father, and then holy shit,
yeah,
he was so fucking right. And that pisses me off. That's another reason to go to therapy, is that my dad was fucking right about everything. And now I'm my dad, and now I'm pissed off like he was, that everything that I have to feed on.
That's a funny, it's a funny idea, actually, for a joke. The guy who goes to therapy just to praise his parents.
Yeah.
it is an interesting concept, though, that when you're younger, it's like kind of this ego that's driving you, right? There's this some idea of success. There's some idea of the mountain that's climbed. And when do you get there? You never really get there. You're there. Like, you know, you're there, but it's hard to see that there's nowhere else to go. You just keep, you feel like you keep climbing. But then with some perspective and some, I guess, some success makes this easier to have perspective.
Yeah.
But with some success, you start to go, well, that's empty. That wasn't it. The billboard wasn't it. The, you know, album sales, the radio station, the play, you know, opening for sign, whatever it is, right? And then what it really is this moment, the singularity of the moment when there is a true kind of communication or recognition of what I'm doing or what I'm saying is like the delivery is the moment. The thing is the moment. And then that is the success. That's what I was looking for the whole time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And success is actually the thing that I think shines a light on it the most, is that you're like, oh, all this stuff that you were chasing is ultimately not that satisfying. I mean, it is, and it definitely takes pressure off and that kind of thing. But ultimately, it's not a true source of joy or or belonging. There's something greater at work in the universe that you have to tap into to settle that, for sure.
Yeah, I think that success makes it easier because money makes things easier, right? When you don't have those pressures. I mean, there are problems that come with money too, but when you have a certain amount of success or ease, or you can pick up the phone and you can play this room or that room or wherever, there's got to be a certain amount of ease that comes along with that. And so that gives space to allow you to have some perspective.
Yeah.
Unlike the journeyman who's sitting at the slot machine wondering when the next bill is going to get paid. That's a certain type of stress that's all encompassing. And I think it is hard to have perspective in that way. And that's why I think a lot of people in especially in today's day and age, they're kind of losing their shit a little bit, is because they're under that pressure. And that kind of pressure, it's like, you know, it's like diamond level pressure, right? You can't, you can't get away from it. It's hard to have perspective. Speaking of today's, you know, the pressures of today, have you been gifted a jet yet from the Qataris, or is that?
I haven't yet.
I'm hoping you do, so you can come pick us up and we can have a...
I was thinking about that this morning when he was like, it's stupid to say no.
Stupid people say no.
And it was the same when he said, when he ran the first time, it's stupid to pay taxes. I'm like, wait, what? There's so much stupid about what you just said about being stupid.
Yeah. But we do have to say one thing. I think we can all be in agreement on this. It is one badass airplane. I mean,
I haven't seen the inside or anything. I just saw the outside.
Oh, Tom, you've never seen anything like it.
I saw some pictures of it this morning.
Oh, you've never seen anything like it. Oh,
I think it was from The Daily Show.
It's dripping
last night.
It's dripping in opulence. It's like the kind of plane you could only dream of.
But back to your point. So then if you think that sitting on that plane is going to bring you happiness, and you're sitting there in this gold leaf chair and eating shrimp cocktail out of a golden monkey head.
Yeah.
a little tear rolls down your cheek.
Yeah.
It didn't do it. Again, it didn't do it.
Yeah. But some people will always chase that. That is because the ego never goes away. The ego never shuts up. Mm-mm. Right. And so if the ego doesn't I had this friend who said this something like now we're really going down the rabbit hole here, but I had a friend that one time said something to me that has always stuck with me, be careful when you push ego out the front door. It doesn't come in the back door, right? And mm-hmm. so some people just are on that revolving door, and that's just a personality mm-hmm. type, and that's a whole different conversation.
It can get you a lot of cash.
That's for sure, yeah.
It can definitely get you things.
Yeah.
But if you have any kind of soul, you might be empty.
Yeah, exactly.
You might not. And that's the part
once
that
you
kills
have the thing
me.
Then it's what's the next thing,
yeah, what's the next thing, and the next thing, it's never enough, it's yeah. always the next thing, and you have to, and there's this kind of like aggravated dominance that has to come with that, where everybody else has to get out of the way or be stepped on, and that's the part that kills me, is that should we be focusing more on like the soul of it instead of the thing of it? And I yes. just think, yes, of course, that's the answer, yeah. but it doesn't seem to be the answer for a lot of people. It just doesn't seem to be. And that's okay. Maybe we're all learning together.
Maybe our podcast will help.
Maybe this podcast.
Open someone's eyes yes. to their soul.
At least maybe. The three of us know what's going on.
Exactly.
The three of us and, you know, the three of us, and I'll add one more into there, and this is a very interesting connection that I made about you, Tom. Is Rob Zombie your friend?
Yes.
How in the world? How do we not know this? I mean, I know this.
Why are you
some
surprised, I guess, is the question.
I don't know. I just,
he's a creative.
I like Rob yeah. Zombie. I like him a lot. How did you guys connect?
We had a mutual friend that he had cast in his House of Thousand Corpses.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she got married, and Rob and I ended up at a destination wedding together.
Like a beach? Were you like a beach?
Yeah. Like on the East Coast, like Boston area. And, you know, when you go on a destination wedding, you need an ally. If you yeah. don't know yes. people, like of if you're course. Not part of the inner circle, you need an ally to rip the thing apart, you know? And, yeah. And we just kind of hung that whole weekend, and, you know, I, of course, loved his music, and he knew my comedy, and we just really, really kind of formed a friendship, and then just started working together.
Nice. I love this partnership. Yeah.
And when I was doing my stand-up special, I was like, I want this to be, you know, more like a film. It was like the Comedy Central days where everything was kind of looking the same, and
yeah, yeah.
I was like, I want to try and have a little bit more of a film perspective on it, and I asked Rob if he would do it, and we did a couple of them together, and they were definitely creative. He's great.
He's wonderful, and I have heard him a number of times. There was a period of time where him and Stern were talking a lot, and so, yeah. like, you know, Rob was on Stern, and I loved his music. I was a kid of that age, you know. It was an amazing, just like a different sound that was so yeah. cool and heavy, but accessible, and I just loved it, and I found it very fascinating. Do you guys still communicate to this
yeah,
day?
Yeah, I just saw him, you know, like a month ago, and yeah, he's great, and I'd love to do, we're always, every time we get together, we're like, what's next? What are we going to do? You know, I think the way to sum it up is he's a lot nerdier than you think, and I'm a lot cooler than you think.
I believe that.
I think totally you're cool. I yeah. think Tom Papa is cool. I think I've always felt Tom Papa is yeah. cool. Do you miss the Comedy Central days when like there was like a repository, like a place, a repository?
Yeah,
a
channel? I think. Yeah, I mean, it was. I don't know if I miss it, but it was definitely good for me at that time. Like we all passed through there.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, we all got our first like little specials, like half hour specials yeah. and that kind of thing. It was definitely a place that was cultivating new talent. And it was definitely there at the right time for me and all of my peers. And it is kind of sad to think that it's like now just, you know, it's great that you can see South Park 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
but, sure. I would love to see like more young comics and just that a central place for comedy. I think mm-hmm. that is kind of missing. I mean, Netflix stepped in and
I think they've done well.
They really
yeah.
have.
I think they've supported they've done okay. the comedy community. Yeah.
And I just hosted a thing with all young comics last Thursday that Netflix was putting on that they were filming them, and it was like 10 new comics, and that was very cool, like to
oh,
see.
Wow.
Yeah, see these people that are like in the beginning stages, and so they're doing, and some of the Comedy Central people are over there that are still doing it and love the form. So it exists, but not on Comedy Central anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that social media has taken away there's super niche television out there. You can find, I mean, for God's sakes, you can go on Pluto TV and see, you know, Beverly Hills 90210, of season to season, day to day, you know, do they have a channel dedicated to it? So there's super niche TV out there with OTT, but it was just different. I remember when Comedy Central, I remember the first time that I think I ever remember being super connected to stand-up comedy, like finding it to be something I got obsessed with.
Yeah, between that and HBO, those were the places.
But right. Was my dad, when he first got cable, when Comedy Central came on, Comedy Central would run bit like a joke from one comic, at like a video, almost like an MTV video, and they would just play it 24 hours a day. These comics would just come on, and it was, I got obsessed with watching it over and over
again. Yeah, it was cool. It was definitely had its moment. But, you know, like you said, like now there's no gatekeeper. Like there were friends that couldn't get on Comedy Central at the time. And today that young comic can just get a set, put it up on their own TikTok. And if people are into it, you're into it. And that's kind of great. That's definitely opened the door for a lot more voices, I think.
You seem to have found like your voice, your rhythm on social media. Do you enjoy that part of it? I mean, but I think you have a really, well, first of all, the podcast is great. I think everybody can agree the podcast is freaking fantastic. One of my favorites.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah. But then you love breaking bread. I mean, I'm making bread,
breaking bread, and making.
You love making bread, and it's almost in a spiritual way that you talk about it. Right. And I love that. I think that's interesting, but you've kind of cultivated this little personality, this big personality, actually, on social media. Do you enjoy that, or?
Yeah, I do.
Something that checks the box for you.
I do enjoy it, and I'm. It takes more to be good at it. Takes more time than I thought.
Absolutely,
and I thought it was me. I'm like, what's with me that I'm always messing it up? And then when I got help from different people, and like I've got this tour manager who does the content when we're out there and puts together these cool videos of us on tour, and she's so good at it, but she works really hard, and she's been doing it for a long time, and she's spending the whole, you know, next day editing it, and just for a minute long video, but she's thinking about it for days, and she's filming it, and then she's editing it, and then gets it up there, and I realized it took all the frustration out. I thought, well, I'm not good at this. No, you're actually making a TV clip. And you may not have the aptitude for that. You know,
it's not in your lane.
It's not my lane. I'm not good at it. And then
her phone number.
And then I can fill in the places that I'm good, which is like me, like doing bread or like taking pictures of my dog and just kind of adding into it. So then it has my personal touch, and that part I'm good at. I can enjoy doing that. But it was just, I was just frustrated that like I thought it was me, but it's actually no. This is the kind of difficult to do this stuff. Yeah,
we had the same conversation. We like called professionals. You know, at some point in your career, everybody will realize this as an entrepreneur, and you are one, and we are one as content creators. You realize that you have to call in the professionals, not the guy who's offering you, you know, I can get you many happy followers for $5.
Yeah.
But the actual professionals, right? The people who have done this before, who have a resume, who know what the fuck they're doing. I have decided that if I'm going to pay, I'm going to pay the people who are the best, so that at the very least, I've got a running head start, right?
Yeah.
And we had this conversation, and they're like, you're literally taking the clips of your show, cutting them up and putting them on the social media. No one gives a shit. Yeah. They listen to your show. Your listeners don't care about your show because they already heard your show. Why do they care about a clip? You have to work at it, and you have to do it. You have to put some effort and time into it.
Yeah.
And To which Chrissy and I say, we're out.
Yeah.
We're out. That's it. We're out. We're doing four episodes
more
time. A week.
I'm tired.
Yeah. What do you want me to do? I'm not Tom Papa. I can't just work on the weekends. What do you think I am here?
I'm tired. Yeah. But I think that's a key is like kind of always moving forward and finding stuff that you like to do that are like, you know, I mean, it could be something so small and stupid as, you know, doing a voiceover for your cat or something, but you're trying stuff and having fun with it. And if it makes you laugh and then it becomes, it's not drudgery.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so insane. The power that we hold in these phones.
I know.
That really I could have like literally, you know, hundreds of thousands of people see something from this.
It's insane. It's
just, you're foolish not to do it. And it's taken me a while. It wasn't so easy to like, you know, people got it and took off really quickly. It took me a beat to kind of tap into it, but I just see the value of it so much more now than when I was just looking at it as an annoyance.
Yeah, I think
maybe
that's...
Maybe after 5 years,
maybe
Brian,
after
this
5 years,
time.
We're going to turn the corner this after this conversation with Tom, because what he's saying does make sense. This is the moment.
I know.
This is our time. By the time we do the 24 hours of TCB
exactly.
on
after
our 10th anniversary.
12 hours, let's add more.
Yeah. From the villages in Florida, we're going to be at the retirement village.
But I don't know about... I mean, the whole world doesn't know about your podcast.
No.
And your followers... I mean, there's not a lot of... you know, I could have a video of my podcast that 100,000 people see, and then it doesn't translate into a huge bump on who listened that week.
No.
But I do believe that it's still advertising for your pod.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's still like people are seeing it, and then they'll run into it somewhere else, or, you know, I still think it's pretty valuable to post things of exactly what you do.
I agree with you.
We just need to mix in the personal stuff.
Yeah, I think we need to mix in some creativity in there because here's the thing. The person said to us, listen, this is a conversation with a potential audience. And he said the exact same thing you did. It doesn't really matter what you do. As long as it is interesting and it catches attention and and you like it, somebody else out there is going to connect with it.
Yeah,
he said the challenge is you're not going outside of your own box to do anything additionally creative.
Yeah.
Listen, this is a whole conversation about social media and whatever, who fucking cares?
No, but it's interesting.
We've always been bad at it.
It is interesting. Because, you know, there's also that part where, like, these conversations, like, the reason people enjoy these is it's real and truthful and fun and honest. And then there's another part when you go into that element of social media where all of a sudden you're selling.
Yes.
And it's like, you know, you're not selling in the middle of your thing. Like, this is like, you know, you might have a sponsor or whatever. But so there's always that ick factor of like, am I pushing too much?
I got it.
You know?
Yes.
But people need to hear what you're doing.
Yeah.
So for the first three and a half years, I think Chrissy and I were even afraid to say that we did a podcast outside of this studio, let alone get on social media and ask people to listen to it or do something we felt was insincere to the brand. And the brand is Chrissy and I just having a conversation.
Right.
And so I agree with you. There is an ick factor. I see it so much on social media. I don't want to be a part of it. But at the same time, I think now we're a little longer in the tooth creatively. We can find a way to organically do this.
Yeah.
And the one thing your tour manager is really good at, in those videos that she does when you're out on the road.
Yeah.
And go follow Tom because she does a really good job, is that you're doing these really interesting videos with your openers and you're here and you're there and whatever place that you're doing. It's an interesting minute and a half or minute or whatever it is. It makes you want to watch it. It's not inauthentic to Tom, but it is saying, I'm going to be here. So if you want to, you know, hey, I'm here. Come on down. And I think she's like riding that balance between telling people in a like not very brash way,
I'm here,
tickets available, and here's some interesting things about this town. You're eating a burger, you're at the St. Louis Arch, you're wherever you are.
And they're seeing us just being goofy, which, you know, they don't normally see, but we're doing all the time, like dancing around and, you know, acting like dummies. And, you know, it's fun. It actually, I think that's probably the key in, you know.
In life.
Yeah, in life. It should be fun. We shouldn't be, this shouldn't be, if you're enjoying it, then that'll be contagious, you know?
Yeah.
No one wants to see, like, there's nothing worse when you see a comic and they're like, all right, I'm coming to Atlanta. tickets are still available.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, stop. You'd be better off not doing it.
Yeah. I can think of three comics that you just did an impression of that I saw just this week on my Instagram. Yeah. They're like, Ticketmaster made me do it.
I gotta do this. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Who's... I know you can't, I know you probably don't want to name a favorite, or you probably couldn't, but who is one of your favorite guests that you have had on the podcast and why?
Oh, man.
I can go listen to it when I'm running later on this
episode. there's so many good ones.
That's tough.
Yeah, yeah. It is tough. Leanne Morgan was great. Craig Ferguson was great.
You know, I love Craig Ferguson.
People who talk for a living are really good at it.
Yeah.
You know, there's like good stuff with actors, and we've had some really great ones, and they're always interesting and kind of fun. But like it moves so much more quickly when you have like Kimmel on or Craig Ferguson or, you know, these kind of people that just, they know what's happening. This is a broadcast. We're moving the story along. We're going to go. There's just an energy to those that I think are just easy and impressive.
I think Craig Ferguson is one of the most underrated late night talk show hosts of all time. I thought his show was absolutely brilliant. For me, it was must see TV. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you could tell he was bored of the form when he got there.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was too boxy to hold him in, right? I mean, he was just so quick-witted, and the way he would talk to that camera unscripted, to me, was a feat of, I don't know, genius. Every time he went out there, it was a different monologue, unscripted, completely improv, but mostly improv.
But a lot, yeah. And he had an interesting thing when I was talking to him. I don't know if it was on mine or on his podcast, but he was talking about the perspective of coming from the UK. Like, they didn't see the late night show as a life sentence.
Right.
Like, we see it as so precious that you've got to stay in that job for 30 years. And he saw it as a gig. Mm-hmm. He was like, yeah, this will be fun. I'll do this for a while. When it's not fun, again, back to fun, I won't do it anymore.
Right.
And that was like, well, yeah, of course. Why not? Like, we have this Johnny Carson monolith in our brain, but he was like, you know, I did it for X amount of years, and all right, what's next?
Yeah. Well, when you're as good at it as Letterman or Kimmel, I mean, maybe it's not a life sentence, but it sure does seem like the thing you were born to do.
Yeah.
Right?
There is definitely that American thing of like, oh no, this gig is good, and we're gonna
you're getting paid $10 million a year.
But could you imagine? I mean, like, we're talking about all the episodes that you've done. Could you imagine looking back through a scroll of 20 years, three guests a night for 20 years?
Wow.
No. Man, oh man.
Yeah.
No, I can't. Well, here's why I ask you who your favorite guest was. I can't imagine, actually, because I know that's what I'm going to be doing. At some point, I'm going to be going, holy shit, 16,000 episodes of the commercial break, and I still don't have a 401k. Chrissy, come in tomorrow at 11.
We're doing it from the jet.
Yeah.
We're doing it from the jet. We're doing it from Leonard Skinner's old airplane.
Yeah, that's what we'll have.
That's what we'll have. Here's why I ask you who your favorite guest was and why. Because we've done this, I think we've had 89 guests or something along those lines. And we talk about this every once in a blue moon, the conversation pops up. And you are consistently our favorite guest. One of our favorite guests. You're on the list every single time.
And Reggie Watts.
And Reggie Watts.
You and Reggie.
Yeah, nice. Reggie Watts, that's right.
That's good company.
Yeah.
And here's the reason why, is because you're authentic, you're easy to talk to, and you sure as shit are interesting. Every time, both times we've spoken to you, you're just interesting. You just have a great perspective on life. And I think that that's why you connect with people.
It has nothing to do with my hair.
Cheers to you, Tom.
I like your hair, too.
I love your hair.
Your hair looks great today. You just going to shop it all off at one point?
I don't know. I was looking at your head during this interview, and I was like, that's nice to go tight.
Yeah.
Really tight. I do like it. It feels good. I'm playing with this front thing, but I was watching the Knicks last night, and their coach has, I think, the worst hair in America.
For sure.
And it's so, my daughter was like, what is he doing? And he's just like three strands going off to the side.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's going to, I mean, yeah.
Hey, listen, when you get paid $22 million a year, you can do what you want to. It's like that Belichick. He wore the flash dance sweater on that interview. Did you see he had the rip in the sweater?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that?
No.
Like from flash dance?
No. Hilarious.
When his girlfriend was saying, we're not going to talk about that.
Oh, during that one. Yeah.
Bill Belichick is a hot fucking mess that no 22-year-old girl probably willingly wants to be with. But I cast no dispersions, whatever. Love is love, and you can't choose who you fall in love with. Or their pocketbook.
Come on.
But Belichick's a mess, but when you have all that money and all those rings, what does it really matter?
He's having a good time.
What I was saying.
I mean, maybe do it in the privacy of your own home.
Yeah.
Not on TikTok.
Right. Maybe if you don't put it out there, you won't hear comment. There's no one making comments from your basement.
Well,
but I guess she wants to be out there. Yeah.
She wants him out there. Yeah, she's looking for the next round.
That was a very sweet moment, seeing Jay Leno in that interview. I forget
the
guy's
pod. What was
that
all about?
That guy's...
It was not Jay Shetty, but the other guy. I know who you're talking about.
He's good. I like that guy. He has good people on. But
he's got a very interesting way about him, and I've grown to like it.
Yeah, he's fine. Yeah. Let's stay focused. But Jay was talking about how he's taking care of his wife now.
Oh, yeah.
40 years, and, you know, she's got dementia. And just that he's, you know, seeing the good in that he didn't re-up with someone 20 years younger at some point, and that he's seeing it through. It was like, you don't hear that too often.
Yeah,
no.
True.
It was a nice thing to hear, for sure.
You know, I got a really... bitter taste in my mouth as a huge fan of Letterman and Conan and Carson. I got a bitter taste in my mouth about Leno for a long time, and he just wasn't my favorite late night guy. But the more that I hear him talk, the more I see that there might be a good guy under all. You know, he's just like a
I think when you think
about him staying with his wife, that's like the ultimate. Till death do us part.
Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah. And, you know, I've had him on mine, and when I would go do that show, and he, like, brought my father out to go see his cars, and he was just always just a solid guy. And I know, like, all the cool kids, during all that dust-up, it got weird, and, you know, back to ego, and you never know what the real story is. I can only tell you from personal, like looking in the guy's eyes and hanging out, and he was always solid. It's not surprising that he was making that comment, at this point.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, also, in Jay's defense and to my ignorance, you know, the PR people were working overtime on that one, right?
Oh, so, yeah, right. Big campaigns and, I mean...
Big money, big egos.
Yeah,
big
and a lot of intrigue, you know, a lot of drama. But, you know, ultimately, Ferguson is right. Get out of there.
Ferguson was the best.
Yeah.
Get in, get out.
Yeah, exactly.
Tom Papa currently on tour now.
Check
also,
it out.
His podcast, Breaking Bread. It is one of the better ones out there. Always an interesting guest sitting down across from Tom. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you. CB. Good luck. I hope you make it to the end.
Well,
I think you might be the end. So there you go.
You did it.
All the links in the show notes. Dump up.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Oh, Tom Papa.
He's my papa.
He's everyone's papa. He feels like that. He's got that uncle vibe. You know what I'm saying?
He totally does. Yeah.
He could be anyone's uncle, and you'd be happy to have him as your uncle.
Oh, my God. Him at a family function, so good.
And after I saw him live and knowing just how funny and animated he could be, I would spend all the time with Tom Papa. Mm-hmm. Tom, bring me on your show. Bring us both on your show.
Let's break bread.
Let's break bread together. Why won't that happen? That's a conversation for a different day. Anyway, Tom Papa's Breaking Bread Tour, Grateful Bread Tour, excuse me, Breaking Bread is the podcast. The Grateful Bread is the tour. He just announced like 30 more dates running all the way through the end of December. So go to his website, follow him on social media, all the links in the show notes below so that you too can have the, I guess, the privilege of the experience of going to see a Tom Papa show. Starts early, ends early. Babysitters will be no problem. They're going to love you. You're home by 10 o'clock, 10:30, and you're going to laugh your sacks off. I guarantee it. He's great. He's just great. He's one of the best. All right. Number six in the can. Can we do it? We're running through. We're running through it. Can we do it?
The train's rolling.
Chica-chica. The little podcast that could keeps going.
Yep.
I just love it. Hey, while we're at it, I want to thank Odyssey, our network partners, who have been great to us through this whole dumb idea. They have really supported us in a lot of ways. And Dana Carvey and Dana Spade, I want to thank them personally because they also ran some promotions for us with the TCB's Endless Day. And so thank you. I'm not sure that they themselves had a they made that decision, but the producers or whoever's over there who agreed to it. Thank you very much. Fly on the Wall, great podcast from our network partner at Odyssey. Also, Breaking Bread with Tom Papa. More importantly, go check both of those podcasts out. They're both funny and great. Much better than this one. 212-433-3TCB. 212-433-3TCB. Call now. Check out our Instagram. Gonna go live. Will you be a part of it? I don't know. You got to go to Instagram and check it out. All right. TCBpodcast.com, all that good stuff. And 5-Hour Energy, bringing you the endless day with limited commercial interruptions. Woo! All right.
We're doing it.
Let's go take a nap, and then we'll be back. I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
And best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until the top of the hour, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.